Psalm 121 is known as a song of degrees. Maybe you have a Bible that has that written underneath it. There's numerous of these in the book of Psalm of degrees. And what it was used by the people of Israel when they were on their way to one of the three different feasts that would take place annually: Passover, Pentecost, and Tabernacles, the Feast of Tabernacles. And so they would be singing these en route to this particular celebration, this particular time of worship. And so you can imagine a convoy, if you will, or a group of people heading there, and they're walking, of course. They don't, or maybe they're riding on the back of a donkey or whatever, an animal of some kind. But for the most part, they're walking, and it's dusty and dirty, and yet they've got this song on their heart, and this particular psalm, if you will, on their heart, and they're singing it. And another way that I think we could define this is a pilgrim's song. A pilgrim's song. On the journey that they're on, it would be tiring. It would be difficult. There would be, in that day, even possibly thieves or vandals that would be waiting and around the corner, or could be looking to take advantage of a situation. As we read the very first verse, it is more of a cry, and I will lift up mine eyes into the hills, from whence cometh my help. A cry, not of hope, but more of a cry of despair. I am on my journey. Danger is lurking. We're on a journey today. Aren't you glad that this is a short journey? It's not a long journey when you put it in perspective, right? It's a vapor, the Bible tells us, that appears and then it vanisheth away. But we are on a journey. We're a pilgrim. We're a sojourner, another word. And we're headed somewhere. I'm glad to know today that where I'm headed. Do you know where you're headed? I know where I'm headed. I'm headed to heaven. Heaven is my eternal home. This world is not my home. I'm just a passing through. My treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue. I think we had three songs break out in the first service. So I'll try not to give you a concert, okay? But anyway, that's where I'm headed. Now, I've got a lot going on and you've got a lot going on, but let's not forget, where are we headed? We're headed for heaven as a Christian. But you know what? As we're headed for heaven, life can be challenging from time to time. Things come across our path that we didn't know were coming. They just came. Boom, and there they are. I'd like to speak to you on this theme this morning. Help is on the way. Help is on the way. As a pilgrim, as a sojourner, things will come into my life and they will come into your life, again, that we did not expect. This pilgrimage for you and for me as believers began the very moment that you accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. You left darkness and entered the glorious light of the Lord Jesus Christ, never to return. I'm thankful for the eternal security that we have in the Lord, and we'll be mentioning that at some point here along the way. I'm thankful for the faithfulness of our Savior. I'm thankful for the faithfulness of our Heavenly Father. He never leaves us and He never forsakes us. The lost, they are pilgrims too. Think about it. The lost, they are sojourners too. They aren't here for eternity. Someday the lost will leave this world and they will be in eternity forever. We pray that the lost would recognize they need help as well. The greatest help that a lost person needs is not physical. Although we should help people physically with things if we can. I'm not saying we disregard those physical needs, but somebody can die and go into a crisis eternity with all the money in the world. And yet somebody can die and go to heaven and not have a couple of two wooden nickels, as we say, to rub together. It matters not what we have on this earth and what we gain and we acquire. It's have we come to know the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior. And here we're challenged even just a few moments ago with somebody else that needs help. Oh, comfort, yes. Oh, encouragement, yes. But oh, the Savior. The greatest need anyone has is to know the Lord Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. Along the way, dangers come that we least expected. Thieves are there, a different kind of thieves maybe than in the Bible time. I'm not talking about today. I hope that none of us would experience that today in a literal sense. But there are things that will be a part of your week this week possibly that will seek to rob you of peace, that will seek to rob you of joy, that will seek to rob you of contentment. I want to encourage you this morning, help is on the way. Help is on the way. You might be facing something this morning that only you and God know about. Help is on the way. You might have a challenging difficulty right now in your life, or you've just come through a challenging time. I don't mean to discourage you, but they will all be a part of our entire life until we go to heaven, because we have these bodies of flesh and everybody else as around us as well. Help is on the way, though. Maybe you feel surrounded this morning. Maybe you feel hopeless this morning. Maybe the health need is just overwhelming. Maybe right now you're sitting here and you're in pain. Help is on the way. Maybe you have right now in your mind and in your heart someone in your family that is away from the Lord. Help is on the way. In these eight verses, we find great help. And so that's my one prayer for you today, is that you'll see help is on the way. Number one, let's look at a quick outline here, and I trust that the Lord will minister to us. Number one, we see the source of our help. The source of our help in verses 2 through 4. Verse 2, my help cometh from the Lord. And let's not discount the next statement. My help cometh from the Lord. Look at the resume of the one who helps you today. Quite a resume. The help comes from the Lord. What did the Lord do? Well, He only made the heaven and the earth. That's all. He only said, let there be light, and there was light. You know, He only, the Bible over and over again in the book of Genesis, and God said, and it was so. You remember reading that? Maybe you are. Maybe you read the Bible through every year and you start in Genesis. Just a few weeks ago, you would have read that. I don't know. And God said, and it was so. The psalmist is saying, my help comes from the one who went on the edge of nothing and created everything. Think about that this morning. I mean, when we put it in perspective, the source of our help is beyond any need that we need help with. He's way beyond the need that you have today. He's way beyond the need that I have today. And this isn't simply a friend, although He is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother, as we alluded to this morning. But He is the Creator God of the universe. If God can create this world with the power of His voice, then surely He has the power to take care of you. And the power to take care of me. This helper who is available to us today and every day is the one who spoke this world into existence. I know some of you share requests with me from time to time to pray for in a confidential way. And that's perfectly fine. And I'm honored to pray for those silent requests. I just want you to know that there is no prayer request too big for God. I just want you to know there's not something too big for God to help you with this morning. Help is on the way, the source of our help. Notice it says there in verse 3 that He will not suffer thy foot to be moved. It has with it the idea of a slipping. Maybe you've slipped before, you know, with it icy, and maybe you've slipped and maybe you actually fell, and that's no fun, and we would not want anybody to slip and fall. But you know what? Possibly this week, I mean, we were here this morning and we're hearing a message about help from God. We're hearing a message that help is on the way, and we're hearing a message that nothing is too big for God in our life. But I can tell you this right now, the enemy is going to try, and before the day is out, to snatch that courage and snatch that truth out of your heart. He's going to put the banana peel of whatever in your way, and He's going to try to get you to quickly go right back into discouragement or whatever it may be. And it's real. Yes, discouragement is real. Depression is real. Sin is real. May we understand this morning that God wants to keep us even protected from that, and yet we need to remember that He is ever with us. love how the book of Matthew ends. You remember how the book of Matthew ends? The book of Matthew ends with this, "And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world." Matthew 28, verse number 20. Think about it. How can God be with us always? Well, you know how he can be with us always. The Bible says that he gave of himself to us the very moment we got saved. God said to the Holy Ghost, April of 1983, that's when I got saved. Okay, Holy Ghost, go take up residence in Ben Turner's life. And he's still here today. He's still in me today. You go back to the moment you got saved, and God is indwelling you in his spirit ever since then, and he'll never leave you. He'll never forsake you. He'll dwell in you. Now, he wants to fill you, though. He wants to fill me, though. You say, well, if he's in me, isn't he filling me? Well, we learn in Ephesians that that filling is the idea of controlling. God wants to control me. God wants to, his spirit wants to make sure I'm thinking right. And we'll talk about that. God wants to his spirit to make sure that I'm acting right and doing right. While it's a great promise that he's never going to leave me, it's also a great encouragement that he'll be there to guide and direct me along the way. Let's go in our Bibles to Psalm 40. Psalm 40, the source of our help. We're talking about the source of our help. Psalm 40. You may not need this encouragement today, but you will someday. And by the way, it will come when you least expect it. And you know what I'm hoping that you'll be able to do? You'll be able to think, help's on the way. Where was that? Where was that? Psalm 121. You know what? You might meet somebody this week that needs help. You can take them right here and you can show them, hey, I want you to meet my God. I want you to meet my Savior. He doesn't just help me. He can help you too. Look at Psalm chapter 40. I waited patiently for the Lord, and he inclined unto me. That's why, you know, help is on the way. I waited patiently. You say, I'm ready for help to be here right now. Well, it is. It's here right now. But the specific help that you might need today, we might have to wait for it. The psalmist says, I waited patiently for the Lord. He inclined unto me. Think of that. The Creator God inclined unto you. What? It's not that he has a hearing problem, okay? All right? Unless I've got iniquity, then he's not going to hear, right? He says, he heard my cry. You might be all alone somewhere this week. You're never alone with the Lord, amen. You might be all alone this week, and you might start to think about things that you have no business thinking about, discouraging things, defeating things. I want you to remember this. Right then and right there, that's the time you need to say, Lord, I need your help. And he hears our cry. He brought me up also out of an horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock and established my goings. He has put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto our God. Many shall see it in fear and shall trust in the Lord. You see, that's our example being an encouragement to others. Psalm chapter 40. Reinforced to that steady help, that mighty hand of God. This help is constant, by the way. It's constant. I think Brother Carlos started with his piano playing. Not maybe all of you weren't here at the time, but he played Great is Thy Faith. Where does that come from? It comes from Lamentations chapter 3, verse number 23. The source of our help, it's constant. And it says there in Lamentations 3, 23, great is thy faithfulness. Notice in our text, though, as we go back to our text, it's constant even when we're sleeping. You see that? It says at the end of verse 3, he that keepeth thee will not slumber. God never gets tired. You do, I do, but he doesn't. Behold, he that keepeth Israel, he that protects Israel, he that protects you, he that is on guard for you, shall neither slumber nor sleep. I can't always say that I'm a perfect example of someone who sleeps peacefully. What I mean by that, sometimes I struggle to get to sleep. It happens. Maybe you have that. Maybe God wants you to pray. Maybe God wakes you up and he wants you to pray. I'm not saying those times. Those are times, yes. You know, sometimes the reason why we don't sleep properly in that way is because we're thinking about way too many things that we have no control over. But God has control of everything. And remember, if God's going to stay awake and watch over you, why stay up and join him? Unless he wants you to pray, go to sleep. Trust the Lord. I take that from a story in World War II. I was reading about this of an area that was being bombed in London by the Germans. And it was a bad one. And it ended, and they were searching through the rubble, and they were making sure everybody in that particular area was counted for. And the story tells about a lady by the name of Mrs. Smith. And they came upon her home. I don't know if it was badly damaged. The writer didn't tell, but they found Mrs. Smith, after a bombing, asleep in her bed still. She was fine. They said, "Mrs. Smith, how could you sleep?" And you know what she told them? She told them about these verses of Scripture right here in Psalm 121. And she said, "If God's going to stay up, well, I don't need to stay up too. He'll watch over me. He'll protect me." And she left it in the hands of the Lord. The source of our help. It will never stop. Secondly, we see the strength of our help. The strength of our help. Notice in verse 5, "The Lord is thy keeper. The Lord is the shade upon thy right hand." In ancient times, the soldiers would carry two things into battle. You probably know what they are. They would carry a sword and they would carry a shield. If they were right-handed, that sword would go in their right hand and the shield would go in their left hand. This meant that the right side of the soldier, because he's carrying his sword, would be vulnerable to the attack of the enemy. There was no shield there to protect him. He might have had a bit of shield of faith, if you will, a shield, but it would have been exposed because it was with the weapon that he would be carrying. The psalmist here is letting us know that God takes up a deliberate defensive position to protect us where we are most vulnerable. Think about that. You're vulnerable in a different spot than I am. I'm vulnerable in a different spot than you are. But yet the Bible says here that the Lord is thy keeper. He is thy shade upon thy right hand. This attack that comes into your life and my life may come in a weakness, but it also may come in a strength. Think about it. Remember what Elijah did? Elijah stood up to all those prophets of Baal. You talk about a man of courage. But then he ran away from one lady, but I don't know if I can say that about Jezebel. One woman who said, "You're going to be just like that by tomorrow." You know, here's someone who was in a great victory. And all of these are challenging to us. And that's really, sometimes we need to be on guard the most is during a great time of victory. Yes, when we're charging the gates of hell, we know that they will not prevail against us. But when we're charging the strongest is when the devil is saying, "We got to do something about this. We got to do something about this church seeking to deliver the truth all year long." Hey, don't be surprised by the attack of the enemy, but at the same time, remember, help is on the way. Help is on the way. Not only does he protect us from enemies, but also from different elements. Look at what the Bible says here. The sun and the moon. You see that in verse 6? The sun and the moon. So sunstroke is obviously something I think we're quite aware of. Someone's out in the sun too long and they're not getting enough water. Their body can become overheated and shut down and boom, that's it. In some cases, death. But it makes that soldier completely of no use to his fellow soldiers. But there's also another thing, interestingly enough, called moonstroke. Moonstroke. Where sunstroke would affect the body, moonstroke And it's interesting how God puts this together always. The sun shall not smite thee by day. So we go all day and we get tired. Right? We go all day and we get weary. We go all day and, man, we just get to the end of the day and we just want to sit down sometimes. It may not be physical, it might be emotional or whatever. But then notice he says, nor the moon by night. So moonstroke has an effect not on the body, on the mind. Think about what God is saying here. The sun shall not, hey, he's our helper. He's our strength all day long. As we go from this to that to this to that, he's our strength, but also he's our strength and our help right between the eyes where the great battle takes place in the mind. God protects us in the mind. And the moonstroke, unlike the sunstroke, as I said, did not affect the body, but the mind. You ever heard the word lunatic? Lunatic? Luna? We all know what that's pointing to. In ancient times, mental illness was thought, I'm not saying necessarily it's traced to, I'm saying it was thought to be caused by the moon, which is why they would call someone a lunatic. Referring to someone that had a mental problem of some kind. The attack is real on our bodies, but the attack is just as real on our minds. Go with me to Psalm 91, please. Psalm 91. The source of our help, the Creator God of the universe, is the source of our help. Praise Him for that. The strength of our help. Look at Psalm 91, please. It says, He shall cover thee in verse 4, Psalm 91, 4. He shall cover thee with the feathers, with His feathers, and under His wings shalt thou trust. His truth shall be thy shield and buckler. So while the soldier is out there, he's got a shield in one hand, he's got a sword in another, but ultimately here we are told that the truth of the Word of God is the shield. The truth of the Word of God is the buckler. That's what holds everything together. That's what keeps all of it up, right? The buckler, kind of like a belt, if you will. The Lord is that for you and for me. Turn back to Psalm 18. Psalm 18. Help is on the way. Psalm 18, verse number 1. I will love thee, O Lord, my strength. Strength of our help. I will love thee, O Lord, my strength. You know, many times we can become dependent on our own strength. We will only go so far in our own strength. You will go a little ways in your own strength, but it's deceiving. Because as soon as you go to the point of you're out of gas, so to speak, you don't know what's coming, and then boom, you have nothing left. And I'm not talking about physical strength. I'm talking about spiritual strength. But here the psalmist reminds us, you are my strength. The Lord is my rock, my fortress, my deliverer, my God, my strength, in whom I will trust, my buckler, the horn of my salvation, and my high tower. I will call upon the Lord, who is worthy to be praised. So shall I be saved from mine enemies. How many of you know that little scripture song that goes from? Anybody know that scripture song? Four of us. We got a quartet. Okay? It goes like this. I will call upon the Lord, who is worthy to be praised. So shall I be saved from mine enemies. I will call upon the Lord. Now, the way you do it, we didn't do it in the first service, so they missed out. We're going to do it in this service. So this side over here is going to start, and you're going to be the echo. You know what that means? Not the Eggo waffle, okay? Maybe you had one of those for breakfast. This is going to be the beginner, and this is going to be the echo. So this side over here, ready? I will call upon the Lord. I will call upon the Lord, who is worthy to be praised. Who is worthy to be praised. So shall I be saved from mine enemies. So shall I be saved from mine enemies. And we'll sing it together. The Lord liveth, and blessed be the rock, and let the God of my salvation be exalted. The Lord liveth, and blessed be the rock, and let the God of my salvation be exalted. That's 3 and 2. He's our strength. He's our strength. Our source of help. He's our strength of help. And one more. You go back to Psalm 121. He's the security of our help. He's the security. Two times in these last two verses, verse 7 and 8, is the word preserve. Three times, excuse me. Preserve. Now, I don't know what you think of when you think of the word preserve, but I think of something edible. Preserves. My grandmother used to make them. Even in our own home, we would try to preserve the vegetables from the garden in a pressure cooker. Anybody ever use one of those things? Pressure cooker? Okay, not too many, but they got a little thing. They got a little thing on the top that just screams at you and whistles and things. And inside that pressure cooker, it's doing exactly what it's called. There's pressure in there. You know what's happening? As the pressure continues and continues, it's sealing the lids that have been put on those jars of, in our case, we did so many green beans. We had to snap all those green beans too. As a teenager, it wasn't fun, but when you eat it, it's a whole lot of fun. They taste right out of the garden, even though they're in a can, or in a jar, glass jar. But you see, what's happening is that pressure that's happening is for the good. The heat that's happening is for the good. It's getting it ready to be of more use later on. At the same time, they're being preserved. You know, I don't want to run away from the pressure. I don't want to run away from the heat, if you will, because God is allowing those things in my life. But don't forget, He's preserving us. He is securing us. The Lord shall preserve thee from all evil. He shall preserve thy soul. Oh, thanks be to God that our soul is preserved in the Lord Jesus Christ and in the Holy Spirit of God. We are sealed unto the day of redemption. The Lord shall preserve thy going out and thy coming in from this time forth and even forevermore. We have the Holy Spirit of God who helps us. Look at 1 Corinthians 10. I love this verse, and I hope that if you haven't underlined it, at least in your heart, that you will today, and you'll constantly refer to it. 1 Corinthians chapter 10. Help is on the way. Help is on the way, but I'll tell you what, help is right here in the pages of the Word of God. And look at 1 Corinthians chapter 10, please, in verse number 13. We're reading God's word there. There hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. You know how easy it is sometimes to think we're the only ones that are dealing with something. And Paul says, hey, it's common with more people than you think. This testing, a trial, maybe it's unique for you, but so-and-so over here has one too. But I love what it says. But God is what? Faithful, and that's why you ought to really underline this verse. But God is faithful. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday and today and forever. Hebrews chapter 13 and verse number 8. Paul writes here, but God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you're able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape, that ye may be able to bear it. Oh, I can't handle this anymore. No. God's word says you can bear it. God's word says I'll make a way to escape. I love what it says in 1 Peter 5, 7, casting all your care upon Him, for He careth for you. Are you weary? Are you heavy hearted? Tell it to Jesus. He is a friend that's well known. You've no other such a friend or brother. Tell it to Jesus alone. The security of our help is not just for now, but the psalmist says, the end of verse 8, it is for all eternity. God will continue His ministry throughout us for all eternity. We have a priceless, endless guarantee. We have the security of the believer. In Jesus Christ, you and I are preserved forever. The burdens that you have today, they can be His burden. The trials that we have tomorrow can be His trials. The heavy load emotionally or spiritually that you're carrying, go back to Psalm 121, please. And I hope you'll go back to it many times. This is a psalm that I've been to so many times in my life. I was planning on preaching from Acts, but God took me to Psalm 121 this week again. You need Psalm 121. Help is on the way. I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills, from whence cometh my help. My help cometh from the Lord. Remember, this is the source of our help. Now, He puts people in our life too. Thank God for brothers and sisters in Christ that pray for us. We pray for one another. We encourage one another. But we can only do so much. But there isn't anything He can't do for you. God can do anything but fail. He will not suffer thy foot to be moved. He that keepeth Israel, he that keepeth thee will not slumber. Behold, he that keepeth Israel shall neither slumber nor sleep. Behold, verse 5, the Lord is thy keeper. The Lord is the shade upon thy right hand. He is the strength of our help. All day long and all night long, the sun shall not smite thee by day, nor the moon by night. And then we are secure in Him. He's preserving us. We are in His hand, and no man can take us from the hand of the Father. The Lord shall preserve thee from all evil. He shall preserve thy soul. The Lord shall preserve thy going out and thy coming in from this time forth, even forevermore. Solomon wrote it best when he said, trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge Him. He shall direct thy path. It is my duty, even if I'm burdened, even if I'm worrying about something which is not of the Lord, by the way, my duty is to trust Him and know He will always take care of me. Do you need help today? Help is on the way.